session number 10093, reel 4.
Marshall Bud Wilson, reel 4.
There's an awful place called Lack of Moral Fibre Unit, LMF, at RAF East Church on an island in the Thames. And if a chap had a nervous breakdown, he was sent there for disposal. And it must have been a terrible place to have found oneself at, and I'm sure many a squadron commander or wing commander did their utmost not to send a chap there. I would never have sent a chap to the LMF outfit at East Church. I would have tried to talk him out of it or have him posted elsewhere.
And it was actually called that, was it?
Yes, we knew it as such, but it was RAF East Church. But that is where the unit was, and that's where the chaps got posted to.
So its official name was just RAF East Church?
RAF East Church.
Were many of the pilots superstitious? Did they show various acts of superstition?
No, I don't think the many were that way inclined. A lot of them became great prayers of before they took off. I'm sure that many of them had communication and learnt the lesson of prayer.
What about protective clothing? Did you have any articles of clothing which you personally adopted in case
no.
of burns or?
No, we didn't. We flew in ordinary uniforms. We flew with latter part with silk scarves in order to help our necks and able to look around much easier than having a collar and tie on. And we had flying boots. We had no overalls in those days. We had jolly good sheep-lined flying boots, leather gloves, and very good helmets, very good May Wests. We didn't have radios in our May Wests, but they were very good May Wests, and that's all we had, really. And we had leather jackets for the winter, if we very good leather, sheepskin leather jackets.
What exactly was the dispersal hut?
The dispersal hut was situated in various places on the airfield. You had A flight in one dispersal hut and B flight in the other. It was separated by a partition. The airmen had one side, or they had a separate hut, and the pilots had the other side with the telephones accordingly. Telephones were connected direct to sector operations room. And during the height of the battle, we went to our dispersal point and slept in the dispersal point in pajamas and stuff like that. It has been known, and it has been recorded, that some pilots scrambled in their flying boots and their pajamas and May Wests, and that's about all. I have known pilots put on their trousers over their pajamas. That's just in order to get scrambled quicker and not fiddle around by taking something off and putting something else on. And that was a known factor, really. But you often scramble straight from your bed and rush like hell out to your aircraft. By which time, the ground crew and I haven't said anything about the ground crew. They were absolutely marvellous. whether they be the airmen or NCOs, they had our aircraft online, warmed up, and ready for scramble from dawn till dusk. And the WAFs, we had WAFs at Debden who brought out the Bowsers, the fuel Bowsers, to our aircraft, and we had them as our telephone operators in our dispersal hut, and they were absolutely superb girls, and I cannot say higher praise for them.
When you see films nowadays depicting the Battle of Britain and fighter pilots in the RAF, do you find it accurate and realistic?
They usually, the film producers usually use a ex-pilot as their advisors. Whether the directors obey the rules of the military regulations, I don't think they do very often, i.e. long hair, glamour boys. But basically the rules are obeyed, and they're apt to use rather a lot of tomato sauce as damage to the pilot when he's being shot at. But I don't think it ever happened really like that.
Were you aware actually of the end of the Battle of Britain, or did it just peter out?
For me, it petered out rather quickly on the 24th of September when I got shot down. I didn't go back into the battle, because I was put into hospital and I waited there, and then when I came out I was ready, I suppose, for a rest, and I went to an OTU at Sutton Bridge, I think it was.
Was there any sense of a victory at the end of the Battle of Britain?
No. The only victory one got was watching the scoreboards of the number of Germans that had been shot down. It's rather like a cricket match, you know, we'd shot down X number and they got so many, sort of thing. And every day you had this sort of publicised, as proved now, both sides were over-claiming, Germans more than we were. And of course that's where Goring and Hitler got their wrong message.
Were those figures believed at the time, though, in Britain?
Yes. Oh, yes, they were very... But it's very hard in a battle to define who got what and whether one or more pilots have claimed that aircraft. Rules later on became very much tighter, and you had to have a film to produce before you could really claim an aircraft. In the Battle of Britain, we didn't have such things, modernistic things as cameras. You just normally watch the aircraft crash into the ground, then you had a victory.
Can you say something about the qualities necessary for a fighter pilot, say, as compared with a bomber crew?
That's a very hard question, because I would think the summary is a bomber pilot is much more steady, steadying influence than a fighter pilot. A fighter pilot throws his aircraft around much more than a bomber pilot would. It's very hard to define, and also it is a mental exercise. A lot of people on my course at Flying Training School volunteered to go into Bomber Command or into Sunderland Flying Boats, and the rest of us volunteered for fighters, and it's a mental exercise that takes place, and one only hopes one gets what one wishes. It would be wrong to put a fighter man into a bomber just because of vacancies in a squadron. I think if a chap wants to become a fighter pilot, he's got the right message, and he'd like to do it that way. This idea of a fighter pilot being a debonair and dashing and all this, I don't think it really warranted that. A lot did here today, gone tomorrow attitude, and but inwardly I think quite a lot of them were very sober sort of chaps.
Would you say there was any difference between bomber pilots and fighter pilots in the sense of the degree to which they would be reluctant to accept a fine degree of control from their superiors?
No. An RAF pilot was trained extremely well to the limit of the knowledge of that particular time. They were very loyal and they knew what regulations were. There was never a case that I know of a pilot or an officer refusing an order to undertake a job, whether it be on the ground or in the air.
But once you got into the air, would a fighter pilot be much freer?
He'd be freer, but he would also obey his squadron commander. It's an unwritten law. Except, and I say this with respect, some Polish chaps didn't understand English very well, on purpose, if you see what I mean. And they would say, "I do not understand, I am going after the German," and they'd take off after the German, whereas the squadron commander was holding them back in order to get into a better position. But these little devils, they'd go off and they'd shoot down a German or get shot down. But that, we obeyed orders, really. Yes, Mother?
It's 4 minutes.